One way to stop drones as weapons of war is analyzing the supply chain. First, the Federal Reserve today will reveal more of its thinking on interest rates with the release of notes of its last policy meeting. This is a big deal for market participants, says Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer.
Think about what had just happened right before the Fed's last meeting on interest rates. Regulators had closed Silicon Valley Bank after a run, and the Swiss government had hastily arranged the sale of Credit Suisse to reassure skittish investors.
This meeting took place in the middle of a crisis.
Ethan Harris is head of global economic research at Bank of America.
And so the Fed themselves is probably quite confused about what kind of situation they're facing.
The minutes of last month's meeting will give us a glimpse of how Fed officials respond to an ongoing crisis. I say glimpse because Fed minutes aren't transcripts of the meetings. They're more like cliff notes. They don't tell us who said what. It's all anonymous. That leaves Tiffany Wilding, an economist at investment managers PIMCO, scrounging around for clues.
Usually we get words like a number of people, some officials said this, a few members pointed out that.
Wilding wants to know if Fed officials think the banking crisis will do some of their work for them, as bankers make it harder to get loans. If businesses and consumers can't borrow and spend, that would tamp down inflation, just like a rate hike. So Wilding will be looking to see
how many people, you know, maybe thought that a couple of more rate hikes were appropriate versus no rate hikes.
Other economists, like Lauren Goodwin at New York Life Investments, are less interested in who agrees on where interest rates should go. She's looking for signs of disagreement over interest rate policy.
Fed meeting minutes tend to be an early indicator of where debates are emerging that might suggest that the path of policy ahead is a bit less certain.
Goodwin says that could mean fewer rate hikes or even a pause at the Fed's meeting next month. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Cardinal Stritch University in suburban Milwaukee will close next month after more than 85 years. At least a half dozen other private nonprofit colleges have also fallen in the last year. Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes reports.
Let's start with enrollment. There are more than a million fewer undergraduates now than there were in fall 2019.
People who otherwise would go to college are choosing the world of work.
Josh Weiner is executive director of the Aspen College Excellence Program. He points out that rising wages mean
the opportunity cost associated with going to college is greater than it used to be.
Small private colleges have been feeling that. And the students who are enrolling often can't afford to pay full tuition, says Catherine Hill with the education nonprofit Ithaca SNR.
So you kind of have this mismatch between the cost of these schools and the incomes of the families that are trying to send their kids on to college.
The problem is going to get worse because there's going to be fewer kids, full stop.
By 2025, the 18-year-olds who we know exist, right, because they've been born, are going to drop off.
One solution is to look elsewhere for students, including adult learners who never finish their degrees. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
The CEO of Twitter, Elon Musk, has given a rare interview speaking to our colleagues at the BBC. Musk acknowledged the level of pain has been high as he tries to put the social media site on a new course. He said Twitter was losing $3 billion a year with only about $1 billion in the bank when he took over.
So that's 4 months to death. So this is your starting position. How would you feel?
He also addresses the tide of layoffs at Twitter and the pressure on his other company, Tesla, when he sold Tesla shares to help with his Twitter project. We'll put up a link if you missed that Q&A on our air today. Russia is using drones made by Iran as small guided missiles against Ukraine. Weapons experts are turning to some unconventional methods, including tearing these apart, looking for ways to interrupt the supply chain of internal components for these. Reporter Dina Temple-Raston, host of the weekly Click Here podcast, has that.
Damian Spleeters is a kind of drone whisperer on the ground in Ukraine, and he's examining one now.
In front of us is a Shahed 131 that was recovered by Ukrainian forces, and we can see the carcass right there.
Spleeters is an investigator at a weapons control organization called Conflict Armament Research, and he takes apart drones like the Iranian-made Shahad 131. It has a slow, noisy engine that's more moped than weapon of destruction. That's why Ukrainians have shot a lot of them down, and that's how they end up being dissected by Damian Spleeters. Spleeters photographs the drones, then traces each little component through the global supply chain, from factory to distributor to manufacturer. Every chip, every battery, every antenna speaks to him.
It functions to me as a physical document. Its whole chain of custody and, you know, all the hands it went through.
By identifying each and every one of the drone's pieces, he hopes to find places to create a bottleneck in the weapons supply chain.
We will identify, you know, the same end users, the same distributors, and then little by little we'll uncover the acquisition networks that Russia and Iran have been using.
The problem is some of these components are really common. They might also be parts used in TVs or phones or computers. So a manufacturer may not even know their chips have ended up inside a weapon.
So some of these components go through China, Taiwan.
This is Dan Gettinger. He founded the Center for the Study of the Drone at Bard College and is now director of publications at the Vertical Flight Society.
Suppliers in third-party countries may not even know that they are supplying components for Iranian drones. So that's part of the challenge.
Despite that, the components reveal a lot about the Iranian and Russian weapons programs. For example, most of the foreign components Spleeters and his team have found were made before 2021. So there probably aren't a lot of them left. And that could create a new bottleneck in the supply chain and perhaps prevent some of these weapons from continuing to target Ukraine. I'm Dina Temple-Raston for Marketplace.
Dina's cybersecurity podcast is called Click Here. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.